The Cork Food Stories Podcast with Clara Cooney, Cork's Red FM.
Welcome to this week's episode of Cork Food Stories. I'm Clara Cooney, one of the many people in Cork who loves anything and everything food. My own great-grandfather had an organic vegetable farm. Well, everything was organic back then. And I love the stories that Mum would tell us about going around in the horse and trap delivering the vegetables. Today, things are done a little different and we definitely have more access to great local produce. My own business, Clara Cooks, is all about educating people about good food. I do everything from the comfort of your own home. That can be anything from helping you reorganise your kitchen, doing one-on-one private bespoke lessons, small group classes for a fun evening, or helping you cook and prepare for dinner parties or home events, all while supporting our local suppliers in Cork. This podcast is all about talking to the food suppliers and producers of Cork and having them share their wonderful stories with us. Over the next couple of weeks, I'll be talking to a few suppliers that trade in the English market. As all of us Corkonians know, the English market is in many ways more than just a market. It's a whole community of people working together year after year under one roof, not only selling their food, but bringing enormous life and energy to the city. I've been going there for many years, as my family for many generations. I've seen it grow and change over the years, but what always stays the same is the banter and the fun within the market. The friendliness and helpfulness of everyone in there, and most importantly, at the heart of it, it's all about the accessibility of good food from producers in the region. Today joining me is the lovely Margot Ann from the Routy Foodie in the English market. Originally set up by your dad, Michael Murphy, in the 1960s, now third generation family business. I believe it was called the Routy Fruit King. Is the Routy actually the name of a river? Is that right?
Down the Routy is the name of a river in that flows through the town of Kilgarvan. And the Routy has a little love story to it, the name. My parents were country people. On their first date, my father brought my mother to the banks of the Routy River, and I'll say no more, the rest is history.
That's lovely. Why not then name the business after it? So you supply your own fresh farm vegetables. However, you're also known for supporting small local businesses with a variety of delicious non-perishable foods. You stock an array of artisan food from producers based in Ireland and the rural communities. Within your stall, you have, I've been in there many a times, you've loads of preserves, you've the chutneys, you've the jams. I've often gotten flour from you there as well. Your beautiful cheeses, the farmhouse cheeses that you had, the raw Irish honey, some free range eggs, and you have the West Cork flowers, I think, is there as well with you. You know, it's one of my favourite stalls to visit because there's such a lovely array of treats there, which I buy too much whenever I go in there, it's just fantastic to be able to actually support the businesses that you support within your stall. So tell us about your own upbringing and, you know, the impact food had on your life as a child.
Well, I suppose it all started, the seed was set, it came from my parents. As I said, my parents were country people. My father's people were shopkeepers and my mother's people were from Kerry, and they would have grown all their own vegetables, apples, you know, carrots, cabbage, everything. And as a young girl, I would tend to turning turf in the bog, tinning the turnips, picking the apples and everything, you know, start from scratch. We were very simple living people. I would go foraging up the hills to the fields, you know, for mushrooms. So that is where it all started. And then I suppose I started at a very young age. I used to pick the, I suppose they were nearly as good as organic blackberries back in Kerry, and I would bring them to the city, and they were better because they were picked below in Kerry. And I would bring them to the, you know, at that time it would have been the 5-star hotel, which would be in the Arbutus Lodge in Montanati. And we would agree a price for my blackberries and they would make the blackberry jam. Now I make a living from selling blackberry jam.
Amazing, isn't it? I had the same when I was younger. My grandmother, they lived down in Carrigaline before it was all built up with houses. And actually where Heronswood now was just fields, and their house was next door. And we used to jump over the wall with our buckets, walk down and fill them up with blackberries. Now, we didn't go and sell them. We didn't have the business mind like you did, Margot Ann, but we made plenty of blackberry tarts and blackberry jams at home, which was fantastic. So your father, Michael, he ran the stall.
Yes, I did.
As a fruit and veg stall for many years. And you were working there as well with your brother, Gareth.
Yes, I was, yeah.
So talk to us about the business back then. Was it all your own produce at the time?
Well, you know, the business back then, I suppose, look, the business back then was different. Things were different. I mean, things like Halloween was huge back then. Halloween then was all about fruit and, you know, we didn't have pumpkins. We were carving turnips, and then Christmas time would come and, you know, you really had only avocados and pineapples and melons at Christmas. But now things have changed. You know, things have changed completely. Now Halloween is gone. It's not really fruit anymore. And I think, you know, avocados are just morning, noon and night, yeah. And pineapples and melons are plentiful. But we, you know, we had to diversify because, you know, at the time in the market, the Northside people would come down. They were great to shop with us, the Southsiders. I would call it, get on the bus, get the messages for the family. But, you know, that's all gone now because, you know, the multiples came in and, you know, free parking. So we had to diversify to be something different. Things changed and, you know, really, if the truth be known, I don't know. I didn't know at one stage, you know, my parents were ill and I came back into the business. I had been gone for many years. When I came back, the truth is I didn't know whether to turn right or left, but I knew one thing. I had a big heart for food, for good, simple, honest food. So I said, look, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to go back down the route of the food, but I went more into the artisan, upmarket products, homemade jams, raw honeys. So, you know, I suppose in life you can get lucky too. I got lucky in a way and we have beautiful produce. But look, I'm just the girl selling the produce because really, the truth is, the love story is the people and the producers that make this beautiful food and let us not forget the native Irish bees who produce the gorgeous raw honey.
I know, it's fantastic. So that was kind of back in, I think, 2011, Margot, wasn't it?
That's right.
So were you, because I know your dad, he was over the other side of the market at one stage. Were you still there at that stage or had you actually moved into the centre?
Well, initially we started off in the Rooty Fruit King stall where I am now, and we had that. And, you know, funny enough, we also had the stall behind it, which is now the sushi bar. We had that stall too. And funny enough, we were actually renting another little stall over next to Pat O'Connell's in the fish aisle. And then we had another time we were renting another stall, which was Mr. Bell's up near Rose's coffee stall. So, you know, we tried a lot of things, but we're back to just the one stall now. That was a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. You're very central there as well. So that was in 2011. So talk us through a little bit kind of your transition of changing the business, because I know you're a foodie and absolutely it's fantastic to be able to, you know, support all the local producers. But how did you go about it? How did you decide who am I going to support here? How am I going to get this set up?
Well, as I say, look, I had the passion for food. I'm not going to say, you know, that I did all the right things. As I say, it was a little bit of a chance, but I knew I had a good head. I had a good taste for food. I had a good background in food. I had a good background in retail. And I just said, if we just have a really good product that sells itself, that's honest and it's good. And I think, you know, like at the end of the day, you know, when you are in business, 2 and 2 is 4, no matter what you're at. But I just felt that in the market, I just saw a small niche. I think that a lot of people want to go through the market and they want to bring home something nice to give to a gift, you know, to give to their family or gift to someone else, or to take, you know, especially the tourist business. There wasn't too much for the tourists to buy, you know, because there's a lot of amazing fresh produce there, but I mix it a bit. So I felt there was a small niche, and I suppose I started off really because my passion was for the preserves. And, you know, we do our own signature lemon curd with passion fruit. My daughter is a home economics teacher. And I suppose I started first with the preserves and the raw honeys. And there was, you know, really when I started, it was kind of all about preserves and chutneys. And then I moved into cheeses. And
yeah,
I have a lot of stuff from rural Ireland because I spent a lot of time in Kerry myself. So I suppose really, as I say, it was the passion that I had for the food.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that if you've got the passion behind any business, It's the first step,
I
isn't
had
it?
The love.
You
the
have
love,
the love.
The love.
Exactly. So I've often seen you doing your own stories on Instagram and showing the produce on your stalls. So, and you've got your own fruit and veg and stuff there as well. So have you always grown your own fruit and veg at home?
I live in the country. I'm living in Macroom, but I'm living kind of in the country. Even though I'm still in the town. You know, really, I just started off green fingers. I'm not an expert. I just started growing. It was my husband, really, Jerry, that, you know, started. I was helping along. We just started, really. We used to be growing our own herbs and we used to be growing our own different kinds of lettuce. And what I would like to say is, you don't need a big garden, a big fancy garden to grow these produce. You know, you can grow them if you are living in an apartment or a flat, or if you have a tiny little garden in containers. So, look, I'm not here, you know, we're not growing these produce, you know, it's not the money, you know, it is the love of the growing and the nature. And it is just my way of life. And yes, then we kind of ventured along. Few tomatoes, celery, basil that went completely out of control. Different trial and error, really, you know. But yeah, we have a great hobby for growing.
Yeah. And I do too. I really started in the last 3 years. Actually, when I lived abroad, when I lived in New Zealand, I had a glass house. And of course, we had beautiful fruit trees there as well. And it was amazing. But when I came back to Ireland, I really kind of wanted to see about being able to grow it myself. It's hard work, but it's so satisfying at the end.
Yeah. Very therapeutic.
So I know as well, like me, you're a really big believer in educating from a young age about the importance of understanding food and growing food. You know, I've had the privilege as well of having growing up as a child, understanding how food is grown and also understanding of how to turn food into your dinner or a plate onto the table, so we say, as you know, as they say, from farm to fork. So what's your thoughts on educating kids on growing food and cooking with food?
Well, I think we should start with the children. I think it should be mandatory in schools. We should be growing in schools. It's not that costly. Kids have to see where the food comes from, and this is what's wrong. And if you see something growing, you're watering it, you see where it comes from, you pick the blackberries, let's go back to where we were. I think then you appreciate the food, and, you know, it will start with the children and it will start at the kitchen table at home. And I think, like, there is lots of places in the city centre that there's a little bit of waste ground. We should all be encouraging, you know, as a community, to grow our own essentials, especially things that are simple to grow, like, you know, herbs, lettuce. Okay, yeah. You might need a tunnel or something for the tomatoes. But it is such fun. But I think it has to start with the children at a very young age. I think we really need to go there and, you know, educate the kids. And then, like, people will say, oh, you know, homegrown stuff and artisan food, you know, is a little bit more expensive. But sure, it's always going to be that little bit more expensive because it is precious.
Yeah.
And it is different.
Yeah, it is. And I agree completely. I mean, I now have, you know, when I think about what farmers go through, vegetable farmers, and especially the ones who've got the organic produce as well, and they're only actually, you know, producing in small supplies. Even just me growing my own, the appreciation you actually have for those farmers and those producers. And there's not a huge amount of them out there, you know, in Ireland anymore. I think somebody was saying to me it was about 120 vegetable farmers left in Ireland, which is such a low number. I definitely think that during lockdown, people did start growing. I've got many friends who just found a plot in their garden and said, right, we'll just give it a try. And as you said, trial and error, and they got the family involved, and so much fun for the kids.
Yeah.
And for, you know, and for the parents, it kind of connects people as well. Food does connect.
Absolutely,
people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what schools are doing. I know that definitely, you know, home economics is far different from when I was in school to what it is now. They're being taught a lot more about produce. But I agree completely. And do you know much about what's currently in the school system at the moment?
Well, as I said, my daughter's a home economics teacher. I'm not an expert what's in the system, like, but I just get the feel that, You know, I think from primary school, we should be teaching our children where the food is coming from, growing, you know, for Halloween, growing pumpkins. And they're not that hard to do. And I think it should be rolled out. It should be mandatory that, you know, from definitely fifth or sixth class up, there should be cooking and there should be, you know, more attention given to homegrown produce. You know, how special these people are that grow these produce, that make the jams, that keep the bees. Because, you know, they're unique people and, you know, they have a beautiful love story about their produce, their story. And if everybody knew what the story was of food, you know, you would appreciate it more and you would realise that these people have to be supported.
Absolutely. And I think that's what's wonderful about the English market in general, is that you know when you walk in that door that you're supporting local producers and local farmers. And it's the same with the markets that we have around. I mean, we've got the Mahon Market, we've Middleton Market, we've Douglas Market. I think there's one out in Wilton. There's plenty of them actually all around Ireland. And now, of course, we have Neighbour Food as well that are really after kind of, I think, upping, I suppose, really over the last lockdown, people started wanting local produce. And Neighbour Food was a fantastic outlet for them to be able to select from all different producers, which is fantastic. So the producers you use, talk to us about those producers. Who do you, what are the producers? Who are the people that you actually support
in your
business?
Well, I suppose, you know, as I say, a lot of them have come from rural Ireland. I would use a lot of West Cork producers. So, you know, I would, you know, Goobeen Cheese now, they have an amazing story down in West Cork. I would use different jam makers. My eggs would come from Kinsale. My brown bread maker, Bina from Macroom, Bina Healy, she's 70 years of age. She makes brown bread in the way that our parents and our grandparents used to make it. I would have a lot of producers, but then I would see a lot of them, they drop off because, you know, it's one thing making the produce, but it's another thing, you know, being able to sell it and to be able to price it at the right price. So I have a big array. I would have a lot of beekeepers. Not a lot. I would have, you know, a lot of good beekeepers. So I have quite a good mix. But as I say, most of my produce would kind of come from West Cork. Out the road here, I would use a very good apple juice maker, Magoola.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a big selection of Irish produce. And then, of course, we would move from season to season. Summertime, we would have the Ross Carberry strawberries, the West Bushbees, West Cork strawberries. And then, of course, you know, in the summertime from month of May on, I would have beautiful West Cork flowers from Felicity. And I would keep moving with the season. So from season to season, whatever is in season, we would be selling. It would be the same with the jams and the preserves. And if you eat from season to season, you will always be eating well.
Yeah. And you can always support local if you eat from season to
Absolutely,
season as well,
yeah,
which is
yeah.
fantastic. So, you know, we've had a year that nobody expected, and many businesses have been affected from it and have had to adapt. So what changes did you yourself have to make for the business?
Well, I felt that my business really, you know, was high dependency on tourist and Irish tourist as well, and a lot of people gifting my food, almost like food gifts, because our stall in the market is kind of, you know, it's really a treats and nice goodie bags that I was calling them, you know, like nice cheeses and chutneys. So, you know, the tourists were gone. We were back to the locals, of course, that are always welcome. So I kind of said to myself, right, we started delivering city centre. You know, we did a free delivery service, city centre, started delivering food boxes. And, you know, we just got a bit lucky because the stories were just amazing. Mm. People who couldn't get home and were selling them to their mothers, or somebody who was getting married and the wedding was called off, or, you know, a birthday present, a funeral. Even people who were romancing, sending stuff. I could write a book on the food stories, you know, all the deliveries we made, and every day was a different story. I wrote all the cards, and I, you know, we just had to diversify. Then, you know, people would ring us up for stuff. We might drop it out to the Grand Parade to them, drop it to their car. leave it at the door. But I have learned from this, there is a book in it because it is like a love story of food from the English market, because the stories that came with the pandemic, you just couldn't write it.
Yeah, I agree completely. And, you know, I think you're still doing the online ones as well, aren't you?
My webpage is still not up and running, but we are on Instagram, okay? But word of mouth, we are still running today. Now, I was delayed because we were running, as I say, we do everything to weddings, to funerals, to romance, to, you know, parents cocooning. We're still doing them. We're still doing free delivery, City Limits. And then we just had to kind of spread our wings a bit, and we're now delivering nationwide as well.
Oh, are you?
Yes,
okay.
Yeah.
So have you got a company that you're working with to
well,
support you
minute,
on the deliveries?
Well, at the minute, we're kind of working with the postman who delivers. Your local postman will deliver for you. Now, saying delivery nationwide, we have to be very careful what we put in the boxes, whereas if we're delivering it ourselves, the sky is the limit.
Yeah, exactly. I think nearly everyone I've talked to really has gone online. They've had to change. It's not just for food. It's, you know, it's probably the biggest digital year that has ever been. I know a lot of people who are even in the digital business, and they're turning away customers because they can't actually cope with the amount of people who want to create websites, update their website.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, everybody using this new shop online system. Do you think you'll continue that?
Yes, I will continue it because, you know, do you ever hear that saying, one door is never closed, there's another one opened? Yes, I will continue that as part of our business in the English market. But I have to say, the English market, you know, I think, you know, of course it will be part about selling online because we have to diversify. But you will never get the uniqueness of the traders in the English market, the produce we sell through the market. And it is, you know, there's third generation families there, there's fourth generation families. And, you know, why the big guns, as I would call them, they are not hurting. I think, you know, small retails in Cork City, we deserve a big shout out. And I would say to the people of Cork, if you can, please come in and support your local market, and the English market belongs to the people of Cork.
Absolutely. And that's what I was going to talk about next. You know, I mean, for me, cooking at home isn't just about cooking at home. It's about the produce I cook with. And, you know, everything from going to my suppliers to get the food, the love that I know they've put into the produce, to me bringing it home, just makes a big difference for me to be, you know, cooking food. There's a lot of love and passion that goes into the meals, into the food I cook. So, you know, we do know, and as you said, the big guns out there, you know, they're not suffering. I know there are a lot of stores who are supporting Ireland as well, but it's very important to look at supporting local. So what would you say to people out there who are listening today about, you know, cooking at home and using local produce? What would your advice be?
Well, I think, you know, food to me is a celebration. The best time in life is bringing your family to the table. Good, honest food. We celebrate everything with food. It's not just the food. It is the love that goes with the food, the stories. You know, people create food with ghost stories as well. You know, they would come in and they'd say, you know, they'd buy something off you. They might buy the old fashioned brown bread, or they used to call it brown cake. And they'd say, oh, I could have a 75-year-old man saying to me, that's a young 75-year-old man saying to me, oh, my grandmother used to bake this. So food, I just think food is all about love and passion and bringing people together. And I think it's very, very important, the kitchen table, because, you know, we all grow and the seed is planted from the kitchen table at home, and that's where it begins. So it is, to me, very important in life.
It is very important. You know, I still love sitting around a table with the family, and I think it's when, you know, all the phones are gone, you switch your mind to what's happening in the family, and you have your chats and you enjoy the good food as well, you know, with
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think, as we were saying, supporting local is just so important for everybody to be actually thinking about. I know, yes, you pay a little bit more, but if you think about what's actually gone into the actual work of those producers and suppliers, you will be okay with paying that little bit extra. What about, you know, next? I think, you know, you're in a prime position actually inside in the English market. I don't think anyone doesn't pass you by.
Right.
And you're full of life in there.
Yes, I suppose I am.
Everyone knows Margo Ann.
I'm a really positive person. I am a very positive person. I always say, tomorrow is another day. My favourite film was Gone with the Wind, Vivien Leigh. I better stop laughing now. Go on. Okay.
So what's next? You're going to stick with the one stall? Concentrate on it.
Well, what's next is, you know, I just want to stay going because we are just taking life day by day. I want to keep the doors open. I think we can weather the storm. And, you know, there is a lot worse off people than us. And, you know, I am blessed to have the stall and we sell beautiful produce. And it's the people who I meet. You know, they are amazing people. The people of Cork, the tourists, the Irish tourists. It is the people who we meet every day. As I say, I'm just the girl selling the beautiful produce.
And I know, how lucky are you?
The makers are, you know, the producers are the real stars here.
Yeah, they are indeed. And, you know, everyone has kind of gone through their own thing this year and still going through it. And work, I think, is something for you that has been fantastic for you to be able to meet people and talk to people. So what do you do to wind down? Now, I'd say Margo Ann doesn't wind down very, very often.
Well, do you know something? Actually, I live a very simple life. I have two dogs and they're called after the jam, of course, Rhubarb and Ginger. And we walk the fields and I put on my Wellingtons and I lead a very simple life, have a few glasses of wine, eat far too much food, good food, and enjoy life. And, you know, I have three children and they keep me busy. They're teenagers now. So I just do what everybody else does and dance around the kitchen for 5 minutes, turn up the music and forget all my troubles for 5 minutes. I do that every day.
But it's true, and I think everybody needs to look after themselves, even if it's getting out for a 20 minute walk.
Absolutely.
But, you know, besides supporting local, one of the things for me is that if you actually, you know, fill your bellies with good food, where you know where your food is coming from, you know it's good produce. One of the things as well is that we all have started cooking. Well, I've been always cooking, but we've all started to cook a bit more. And, you know, I love kind of talking to people about what they're cooking, what's their favourite recipe. Have you cooked now a million banana breads over the lockdown period?
Actually, no. I kind of used to do the banana bread if the snow came, but I went on to different stuff, you know. Did quite a bit of brown bread now and things like that, and homemade soups, and I would be a big fan of the figs.
Yeah, you have beautiful figs.
Lovely figs. Yeah. Figs are in season at the moment now, so I suppose, you know, I have a my recipe. I would say my Halloween recipe now would be, it's very simple. Chop up the Irish apples. I have lots of them. If any of you want some apples, call into me. Chop up the Irish apples. Just put in a bit of the apple juice there that's made out the road here in ovens. And I have a gorgeous little toffee jar, toffee sauce that I sell inside by Big Red Kitchen. Add in 2 or 3 tablespoons into the oven, a few sultanas and almonds, and you have an amazing dessert. Serve it with gorgeous cream, Glenallum clotted cream, or you could leave out the toffee sauce and you could use it, you know, as a healthy option for breakfast or healthy dessert.
Gorgeous. Well, I might put your recipe up on my own Instagram page, and then
Brilliant.
They can all go into you and get the dessert.
Get the apples.
So if you get hounded about...
That's fine. The apples are on the house for as long as they last.
So we might do that. Margo, thank you so much. Is there anything that you'd like to say? Anything else that you'd like to message?
I would just like
about?
To say, once again, the English market is unique. It belongs to the people of Cork. So go in and use it. And buy local and buy off the small producers if you can. and stay safe. And thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. Thank you everyone for listening in. That was Margot Ann from The Routy Foodie, and it was absolutely lovely to talk to her today. We will be talking to another supplier of the English market next week, which all of you are probably know at this stage, Mr. Tom Durkin from Durkin Meats. So thank you again. Have a good evening. Stay safe and eat well.
You've been listening to a Red FM podcast. For more extra content, go to redextra.ie.